Man, where do I even start this morning? I'm going to sing some songs to you today. I'm going to sing some songs to you. I've titled this sermon, "This Little Light of Mine." Y'all know the little song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And we'd be here all day if we sang all the hide it under a bushel, no, and all that stuff. But this little light of mine, that's my message. Excuse me. That's God's message to you today. That's God's message. Open your Bibles, if you have them today, to the book of Exodus chapter 27. I'm going to be going from Exodus, or from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and back to the Old Testament, to the New Testament. And I want to show you how that the Jesus Christ of the New Testament is found in the Old Testament. Same God, same power. Remember that, same power? I love that song. Same power. I want to talk to you about some things this morning. I want to prepare you as you're finding that, Exodus chapter 27, as you're finding that. This Friday, I'm supposed to go in and have some surgery if the Lord doesn't heal me before then. And I've got to have shoulder surgery this Friday. And I got to tell you, I thought it was real clever what I told the doctor. He said, well, you're not going to be able to preach. He knew I was a preacher. He said, you're not going to be able to preach on Sunday. And I said, that might be a problem for a normal man. And we talked about this morning that when we have the Holy Spirit, we're not ordinary any longer. So I'm gonna give it a shot. I've got an idea in mind. I'm gonna write it down this week, and my hope and my prayer is to preach to you next Sunday morning. But you need to be prepared. It's my right shoulder that's getting worked on, so you're gonna have to listen to a left-handed sermon. I don't know if I can preach left-handed or not, but we're gonna give it a shot. Okay, Exodus chapter 27, verse 20 and 21 says this. Well, let me just read it first. Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil, or pure oil of pressed olives, for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning. In the tent of meeting, outside the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening till morning. This is to be a lasting ordinance among the Israelites for the generations to come. There are some things that stick out to me in this passage. Can you go back to that first verse, if you don't mind, please, sir? Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil. Some versions translate, and I think is a better translation, pure oil. Okay? Of what? Of pressed olives. To cause the lamp to burn. To cause the lamp to burn. Okay, three things I pull out of that verse. Pure oil, pressed olives, and kept burning. Okay, pure oil, clear oil. Oil in Scripture represents the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit is represented by oil. Now God, in this passage and prior to this, God is giving Moses some very explicit and specific instructions for the building of the tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle was their portable tent in the wilderness that was their portable temple. That's what it was. Okay, a tabernacle. It was, they moved it around, they took it with them wherever they went, they could set it up. But he gave them very, very specific instructions. I mean, if you want to see just how specific, go back two chapters before and just start reading up to this point. You'll see, I mean, he was very specific. The size, the materials, very specific, okay? But when we come to this part, I love that the tabernacle has several different names. It's called by several different names. Called the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting, okay? The tent of meeting. It was the place where God said, my presence will be here, okay? So it's also called the place of promised presence. The place of promised presence. You need to remember that. We're going to come back to that. The place of promised presence. I want to talk to you about this morning about burnout. Anybody know what burnout is? I'm not talking about when somebody wins the NASCAR race and they do their burnouts on the track and make smoke, you know, with the... If you're... How many young men know what a burnout is? Yeah, Zachary, that's why you had to buy new tires for your truck. Okay. Burnout happens when the demands placed upon you exceed the resources available to you. Okay? When the demands placed upon you exceed the resources available to you. You can function for a while at that high demand, but when you run out of resources, you experience burnout. Okay? Have you ever felt that the demands placed upon you are greater than the resources you have available to you? Sure, I have. It's easy to burn bright for a while, but then the emotions fade and it takes effort to keep the flame bright. And without a constant supply of fuel, you cannot sustain a long-term fire. Okay? Burnout happens when you can't sustain the flame. I don't know if I can remember or not. I heard a movie quote one time. It said, "I'd rather burn out than fade away." Neither one of those are good options to me. I'd rather just keep on burning. I want to keep on burning brightly. Some examples of what I'm talking about are this: burnout. You're doing what you love to do, but you no longer love what you're doing. Does that make sense? You're doing what you love to do, but you no longer love doing what you're doing. Or this: you're frustrated due to some things that you could fix in your life. You're frustrated because there are some things in your life that you could fix, but the frustration is so much that it actually hinders your ability to fix them. Burnout. Or maybe you find that you're chronically in a bad mood. If that's the case, maybe you're experiencing burnout. Burnout. God, He's brought the Israelites out of slavery. He delivered them out of slavery. Remember the movie Prince of Egypt? There were slaves in Egypt. God delivered them, brought them through the Red Sea, right? Saved them, brought them out of bondage, gave them the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments while they were making idols on the ground. You remember all that? Anyway, bad stuff. Gave them the Ten Commandments, and now He's showing them a new way to live. Okay? They've been in slavery. These people that were in the wilderness had never experienced freedom before. They were born in bondage. They've been there for 400 years. And so they'd never really understood freedom, and so God was giving them a new way to live. Remember, it's being set free is easy. Living in freedom, not so much. Yeah. Now they had been set free. Now He was teaching them how to live in freedom. They have to learn how to live in freedom and tend to their passion so that their lives reflect the God who set them free in the first place. And in verse 20, we read about a while ago, God has given the details about the place that He will meet with His people. And He says this: have the people bring you clear oil, pure oil of pressed olives. In other words, this is going to blow your mind. Who was responsible for bringing the oil? It was the people's responsibility to bring the oil. Let me state it some way different. It's the people's responsibility to supply the fuel for the fire. It's the people's responsibility to build the fire. Let me say it differently. You're not catching it. It's not my job to fire you up. Now I will bring messages. I will bring what I always hope and pray is a word from the Lord. I will bring messages of inspiration and encouragement, sometimes chastisement, sometimes whatever the Lord lays on my heart. I will bring those to you. I will poke you. I will prod you. I will stoke you. I will fan the flames. But you have a responsibility to bring the fire. Kind of cool because it lets me off the hook a little bit. The fire is within you, and you have a responsibility for that fire. It's not your mama's job. It's not your spouse's job. It's not your best friend's job to keep that passion intact and productive in your life. Okay? You have a responsibility for that. I want to take us to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, where we talk about the lamp. You know, the in Exodus we're talking about the lamp, and the lamps were placed right outside the curtain of the veil that shielded the Ark of the Covenant from the rest of the temple there. And the lamps were placed right outside there. Well, Jesus talks about a lamp. He says here in verse 22 of chapter 6 of Matthew, he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body." Excuse me. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Then the light within you is dark. How great the darkness. How great the dark. Jesus was teaching people how not to live as slaves, how not to live as oppressed. You see the correlation here? Moses, God through Moses was teaching the people how not to live as slaves any longer. They were giving them directions. All they had known was slavery. Jesus comes on the scene a long time later, and he's having to teach the same thing. Now, they were bondage to, you know, slaves to different things now, right? But they were still slaves. He was teaching them how to not live as slaves. They were in the bondage of religion, legalism. I'm so glad that we're past that and we don't have to, that religion doesn't weigh people down anymore, and people feel like, you know, that there are certain ways of to worship, and if we don't do it that certain way, then it's not true, and it's not right, and it's not real. Aren't you glad we don't suffer from that any longer? Isn't it great that at any church on any given Sunday, you could walk in and they say, "Give me the lineup for today," and they say, "Well, here's the plan, but who knows? Who knows what the Lord may do?" Isn't that cool that we don't have to suffer from that any longer anywhere? No, we still find that religion and legalism chains us down some, doesn't it? He was teaching them how to be set free from the inside out. Okay? Exodus. It was an external lamp, and then Matthew, it's an internal lamp. In Exodus, it was an external lamp on the temple that shined the light. And Jesus says, now hang on, wait a minute. The lamp of God is within you. It's become internal now instead of just external. And a lot of things in the Old Testament are external. We talk about the law. Jesus said, I mean, Moses gave the law through, God gave the law through Moses, and it was an external set of rules that they had to follow, right? And then the Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people, they got together and they added to it and came up with all these other things. It was external things to oppress the people, really, but it was an external thing, and Jesus came along and said, now look, hang on. Let's internalize this a little bit. The law says you're not supposed to kill your brother. But I'm going to tell you, if you just even hate your brother, it's the same thing. The law says you're not supposed to have sexual relations outside of your marriage. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, if you just look at that other person, you have lust in your heart, it's the same old thing. Let's internalize this stuff. See, a lot of the things in the Old Testament were external, but when Jesus came in, it was internalized. The lamps outside the curtain there in the tabernacle is now the lamp in the body. The lamp in the body are the eyes. Full of light. Full of light. How full is full? How full? All the way, right? All the way up. Full of light. God wants everything about me to shine. Everything to be on fire. Everything to light up. I like the song that great theologian wrote. Can't recall his name. You light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. Y'all know that song? Some of the young ones are going, no, I don't know that song. Was that Barry Manilow? Oh, Debbie Boone. Yeah, same difference. It was before my time, really. But God wants to be the light that lights us up from the inside out. And how much? Full of light. Full of light, the Scripture says. Full of light. So your whole body will be full of light. Okay. You got to stay with me on this because it's don't get lost. Don't get lost. Verse 22 back in that passage tells us that we no longer need a tent because now you are the tent. We don't need a tabernacle, a place of tent of meeting. You are the tent of meeting. God meets with you where you are. Your body is the temple. And His presence is no longer identified by a place, but by a person. You remember what I called the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, also called the place of promised presence. Okay? So guess what that makes you? You are a person of promised presence. God says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always. How long? Even till the end of the age. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in you. I promise that my presence will be in you. And as believers, we can stand on that promise. If you're not a believer, if you've not placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, but that promise is not for you yet. Yet. Oh, but it can be. Oh, but it can be, and Christ will light you up. Woo! Christ can light you up, man. How do I know that? Because it happened to me. It happened to me. You see, God wasn't waiting at church for you today. How do I know that? Just because what we've been talking about. You are a person of promised presence. God wasn't waiting for you to show up at church today. God was with you when you woke up out of bed today. Matter of fact, we were talking about this morning that this building, this church building, this place we call the church, this building, right? It's only a church because you're here. If you weren't here and some other group came in, it could easily be called something else, right? I mean, it could become a dance hall. It could become a restaurant. It could become a community center. It's a church because the people bring the oil. You bring the oil. Bring the oil. If His presence, He promised, would never leave us, right? So His presence never leaves you, but what happens to us then? If you lose your passion or your light, it'll be difficult to locate God's presence. Okay? God says, I will never leave you. Then why are there times when we feel like God has left? Why do we feel like we're distant and far from God? In Matthew 6:23, God is saying, if your eyes see your situation wrong, in the darkness, you will think that my presence is no longer in the tent. But the truth is that you just let the light go dim. That's really what that verse is saying. I haven't really gone. You just can't recognize me because you let your light go down so far. It's dim. How many of you have stumbled around in the darkness? How many of you have woken up in the middle of the night and realized your power was out? And you realize that because you're laying there sweating because your AC wasn't running anymore, right? Wake up and you're kind of in a daze and you kind of get to where the lights are to turn the light on and it's not there. And inevitably, somebody came into my house sometime and moved stuff around in my house. Because I kick everything trying to find my light, my flashlight. Probably doesn't happen to you, but I kick everything. And then I holler and all kinds of stuff. You're stumbling in the dark. You think He is no longer there, but you just let the light go down. You have to trim the wick. You know what trimming the wick is? A lot of times when the wick, you know what a wick is, it's like in a candle, it's got the little piece of rope that comes up out of the middle, and the lamps we're talking about here in the Scripture was a piece of cotton or other kind of material that was laid down in the oil. It was just here in West Texas, or in East Texas, a tea pitcher is? Like you took the pitcher and squashed it down, made it real flat, and it had a little spout on the end and a handle. that was the lamp. And what they did is they took the wick, the material, and they rolled it up. And they just laid it in there, and it kind of hung out the edge where you would pour stuff. That's where it was. You lit that, and the oil would absorb through the wick, and the flame would be on the end outside the pitcher. Okay, that was a lamp. Well, sometimes after it burns a while, you have to, that crust, you ever gone to light a candle that's been burned a while and it's gone out, and or you blew it out and you go to relight it, and there's just like this ball of hard black stuff on the top? You got to trim that off sometimes. And if you do that, trim that off, it gives that the oil a better flow, and you can come and you light that up, you get a better flame. Sometimes our wicks need to be trimmed. You need to trim your wick. You will think, because of the dim light, you will think that he is no longer calling you. Or you will think that he's no longer in your situation. And guess what happens? Burnout. You think that the demands are greater than your resources because you've been stumbling in the dark. You think that the demands are greater than your resources, and the only problem is you've just lost the flow of the resource. You got to trim the wick and open up the flow. Open up the flow. Could it be that God's presence is inside of you? And could it be that you have unlimited resources, but yet when the lights go dim, you can no longer access or see the resources available to you? As God's children, we will never, and I say again, never be in a situation where the demands are greater than the resources available to you. Never. It's never going to happen. But if you're in the dark, it's difficult to see what you need. Yeah? I want to take you to another passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. I love that. God said, "Let light shine out of darkness." He made us to shine. He made us to shine. In Exodus chapter 27, back there in verse 21, remember God talks about the oil? He says, bring clear oil or pure oil. Why did he say that? Why did he say clear oil or pure oil, depending on the version you have in front of you? Why did he specify what kind of oil? Does it matter? Absolutely it matters. Because listen, the light is only as good as the oil that fuels it. The light is only as good as the oil that fuels it. And how long did this lamp need to be stay lit? From evening all the way till morning. Okay? Need to burn all night long. Has to last all night. If you take that little lamp, all right, and you instead of clear pressed olive oil, you fill that little lamp with gasoline, will you still get a fire? Will you still get a light? Is it going to be a light that's going to last all night long? About 3 seconds is all you're going to get out of it. It's going to be bright. It's going to be spectacular. It's going to be pretty. You're going to walk away with no more eyebrows. It'll burn bright and fast. And I need to say that gasoline is kind of like emotions. They shine bright, but they won't sustain a long-term flame. They won't sustain a long-term flame. And this morning, when we were worshiping here, when we're truly worshiping, emotions can come. I never, ever, ever want to be guilty of reversing that process and trying to create something emotional, hoping that it will stir the Spirit. Because we can't do that. The Spirit often stirs emotions. I don't want to be guilty of trying to reverse that process. I want it to be real and genuine. Okay? Oil. We need oil. Good oil. I got another song for you. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Oh, Lord, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Did you know there are other verses to that song? Give me gas in my Ford. Let me putt-putt for the Lord. Give me gas in my Ford. Yeah. We used to go fishing and we would sing those songs over and over. And we would have, I think there's like 127 verses to that song. Give me umption in my gumption. Let me function, function, function. Give me, yeah. All kinds of stuff. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. How long? Till the break of day. Keep me burning, burning, burning. That's what God told Moses to tell the Israelites. Give me oil in the lamp so Aaron can keep it burning. How long? Till the break of day. Give me oil in my lamp. Pure oil. Did you know to get the purest oil, you have to press it? Which may explain why some of you have been going through what you've been going through in your life. You have to be pressed. Now some of you are ready to leave. Now some of you are going, all right, that's enough. I don't want to talk about being pressed. I don't want, it makes me depressed if you talk about being pressed. I don't want to be pressed. When Rebecca and I went to Israel, I learned that they had two ways of extracting the oil from the olives. And we saw these great big old grinders, big old olive, they called it an olive press, but really what it was a grinder, like a millstone. And they would put the olives in there and they would turn them, often use a beast of burden, you know, a donkey or a mule or something, or sometimes people would have to do it and they would walk this thing around. They'd grind the olives up and the oil would flow. It had a little groove and the oil would flow over and it'd fall into a basket and they'd catch this oil. Okay? There's another process, and they would use pressing. Now, crushing or grinding will render more oil, but it's a lesser quality oil due to the pulp and the seed particles found in that oil. Okay, it's a lower quality oil. Get more of it. It's faster and it's easier and you get more oil, but it's a lower grade oil. Pressing, on the other hand, is slower. It takes more effort. Often it's done by hand. Okay, you have to a lot of hand involvement rather than just running through a machine. And it often renders a lower volume of oil than crushing or grinding. But the product is far superior. And that's what God told Moses to tell the people to bring. Bring me the good stuff. Bring me pure oil of pressed olives. To get the pure oil, you have to press. They would have they would put the olives in this basket and they would lower the stone on top of it. And then they would keep adding weights, adding weights, adding weights. And sometimes they would have to get involved and put leverage in it. It would press these olives. Yeah. Sometimes they would have to grind, give them a grinding first, a light grinding. Then they'd take all that pulp, they put it in a basket with something like cloth in the bottom, kind of like a cheesecloth, I guess, and then press that. Okay? But the pressing is where you get the pure stuff, the good stuff. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures this morning. But Paul writes, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Pure. I have a thought that I want to share with you. Tell me what you think. The quality of your joy cannot exceed the purity of your thoughts. The quality of your joy cannot exceed the purity of your thoughts. If you say, I'm full of joy, and you've got thinking over here, guess what? You're lying about being full of joy. Because you can't be full of joy and have stinking thinking. The quality of your joy cannot exceed the purity of your thoughts. Think on whatever is pure. Think on whatever is pure. Remember the external, internal thing? You can't live better than your thinking. You can't live better than your thinking. Your thinking drives your living. So what are you thinking about? Pure stuff? Or the stuff that's got pulp and trash and stuff in it like that? How are you burning? How's your light shining? How's your light burning? You know that you take that some of that grinded oil, talking like Aaron now, ground oil, that grinding product, and you try to run that through there, well, that pulp and stuff will stop up the wick from the bottom end. And then guess what's happened? Then you got this piece of cloth laying out there that's not so saturated any longer, but there's still a flame on the end. What happens when that happens? You get a lot of smoke. You get fire. And it's going to come down and it's going to finally extinguish itself because the supply has been cut off. Sometimes in our lives, our thoughts are cutting off the supply of the oil that is there. In oil, in Scripture, oil represents the Holy Spirit, right? God says, I put my Spirit in you, and for there to be a flow, there has to be a pressing. There has to be a pressing. You know, oil is not oil. Any oil just is not any oil. Try running your gasoline-powered car on diesel and see what happens. It doesn't work too good. Diesel is a lesser refined oil. It's a lower grade of fuel. It's not as refined. It's a lower quality. And it just won't work in a gasoline engine. And some of you are substituting the pure oil of the Holy Spirit for the lower grade oil of things like emotions. Emotions such as happiness, joy, success, love. Some of you are substituting love, the emotion of love, for the Holy Spirit. And this love is fueling your passion, fueling your fire. And it's an impure oil compared to the Holy Spirit. That may give light. It may light you up, but not near as good as the Holy Spirit will light you up. You may get a fast-burning flame, or you may just get smoke, but none of it's a good substitute for the pure oil of the Holy Spirit. It matters what you put in your lamp. You don't get pure oil without a pressing, though. And the pressing is not fun, but the results are pure oil. What's it mean to be pressed? Sometimes that's the hard part, the pressing. The pressing, the squeezing. I have encouragement about that for you in just a second. If you are God's tabernacle or God's temple, only the purest oil will do. Only the good stuff. You were bought at a price, an incredibly high price. Jesus Christ paid the price for you, and only the best will do. You're like a Ferrari. Did you know that? God bought you. He paid for you. He paid a high price for you. You can't go down to the corner sales lot and pick up a Ferrari. Why? They can't afford them either. They're too expensive. But God said, I spare no expense for you. I spare no expense for you. I spare no expense for you and you and you and you. You are worth much. You're like a Ferrari. But some of you are trying to run your Ferrari on diesel fuel. In 2 Corinthians, just a few lines down from that verse 6, we have verse 8. You're going to get this in a minute. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Remember the two processes of extracting oil? And God said, bring the pure oil from pressed olive, not the crushing. Not the crushed oil, that's not as good. The house, the presence of God deserves the best, right? We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. I love that. I'm going to use that to say that God wants to press you, not crush you. Not crush you, not destroy you. He wants to press you. Why? To extract the good, good, good stuff. You are hard-pressed, but not crushed. Not run through the machine, not just run through the machine and to get a lot of oil, but it's inferior oil. He says, no, I'm going to get my hands involved, and I'm going to do some pressing with you. I'm going to hand press you, not to crush you, not to destroy you, but to show you there's something really, really, really good within you. And that what is in you is really, 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 really good. I put there so I know it's there. Now, what are we going to have to do to get it out? What are we going to have to do to get it to flow in your life? I'm going to have to squeeze a little bit. I'm going to have to press a little bit. But it's going to flow. And it's going to be good. It's going to make a good light. A light that will last till daybreak. All night long. You see, God knows that something in me is precious and valuable. And it must be extracted by pressing. You cannot have lasting light without pure oil. And to get the pure oil, there must be a pressing. Do you really want God to use your life? Do you really want God to use your life? I'm gonna do like we talked about with Elijah and Elisha. Careful how you answer this. Do you really want God to use your life? Do you really want His presence to shine brightly in your life? If so, it's going to have to be fueled by the pure oil. And to get the pure oil, there must be a pressing. Now, some are not interested in the pressing. Some are not interested in being pressed. And the result is a dim light. By being unwilling to submit to the pressing, you have relegated yourself to a life of mediocrity. Enough to say that there's a light, but not bright enough to light up the darkness. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. See, God didn't say, I'm satisfied with there being some semblance or some little idea of a light in your life. He says, no, I've come that you may have life. I've come that you may have the light. Okay, I'm going to change it a little bit. But not just any old light. I want you to have a lot of light. Not just life, but life abundantly. Not just a light, but a bright light. How do you get the bright light? It's got to be pressed. Got to be pressed. There are some here that want the abundant life today. I know there are some of you here that want the abundant life. And some of you are here saying, and I will submit to the pressing. Will you submit to the pressing of God in your life? Remember, He's not out to destroy us, not out to crush us. He wants to squeeze us and press us to show us there is something really good within us. And it's not us. What He wants to show us is Himself. It might be that you don't have the light at all because you don't have Jesus. You don't have the Holy Spirit because you don't have the Son. Now, you've seen the light, and you know about Jesus, but you've never asked Him to forgive you and to be the boss. You never asked Him to step up and be in charge, and that you would do whatever He says. And if that's you, friend, you are truly in the darkness. But the light is available to you today. The light is available to you today. We sang this song a while ago. So set a fire in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. What does it take for there to be a fire that gets big and bright and uncontainable and uncontrollable? What do you have to have? A lot of fuel. A lot of fuel. You have to have fuel. Friends, the fuel only comes from one place. You can try to manufacture some substitute oil, but it's not going to work for you. You can try to manufacture some oil from a relationship or from a job or from hobbies or whatever, but it's not going to last through the night. It's not pure oil. The only oil that will do in the temple of God, which is you, is pure oil, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you up. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you up and give you a never-ending supply that you can burn bright. And it doesn't matter. Here's the deal. The temple, He said, you know, in the morning they would extinguish the lamps. No need for the light in the daylight, right? And then at night, they would relight the fire with pure oil that the people brought, light the fire, it would burn all night long. Well, guess what? I don't believe God wants your light to ever be extinguished. He wants your light to shine bright. In the middle, at noonday sun, He wants people to look up and go, whoo, what a bright light. What a bright light. What kind of fuel you got in there, brother? How bright is your light? What are you fueling the light with? There are some today, again, that are here because you've and you've never experienced salvation. You've never submitted yourself to God. You've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's never taken up residence within you. You don't have the oil. And you're burning stuff. Some of you are burning twigs. You're burning whatever you can find to try to let there be a light in your life. And you're struggling. And it may be that you genuinely did have a salvation experience, but you're not fueling it with the pure oil. You've got it polluted, and you're there's a light there, but it's just not very bright. I want to challenge you and tell you today. You don't have to go out of here burning the same old inferior fuel that you've been burning. You can get a fresh filling of the Spirit right here and right now. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then we need to talk. If you don't know what this deal about Jesus is, oh friend, we need to talk. I need to tell you about how Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only way to the Father. He is the life, the truth, and the way. The life, the way, the truth. He's the truth, the way, the life. He's all of it, every bit of it. No matter how you say it, it's what Jesus is. He's the answer. It's possible that you're here today and your light's just gone dim and you need to trim the wick. The altar is going to be open. I will be here. Rebecca will be with me. There are others that would be glad to pray with you. If you just come to the front, somebody's going to come up behind you, just let you know they're there and they're supporting you and thanking you. And if you would like to pray with somebody, you can walk across the room and just grab somebody that you know, familiar with. Good stuff. I want to challenge you with something else too that I was challenged with this morning. The oil represents the what? The Holy Spirit. And it's quite possible that you recognize that there's been it may look like an absence of the Spirit in your life, but really what it is there's just been a clog in the flow. And you need to reopen the clog of the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the Spirit, and I have the oil. I brought oil. We have oil. Nothing magical about the oil. Nothing magical about it. But it's scriptural. Scriptural. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. And if you would like to come and receive a symbol of the Spirit present in your life and get a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, I would love for you to experience that today. This is your time. Would you stand? Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for what you've done for us. And Lord, we know that you want better for us than what we're experiencing now. No matter where we are in the spectrum of experiences, Father, you desire for us better, abundant. Lord, whatever we have that's clogging the flow, show us. Let us clear it out. Let us trim our wick. Let us get the good flow from the good stuff. And Lord, if we don't have it and we've been fumbling in the dark, oh Lord, convict us to come. Receive salvation. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and to let our light shine and hide it under a bushel? No! I'm going to let my light shine. Lord, you are light. You are in us. So if we call ourselves a Christian, if we call ourselves a Christ follower, there has to be light within us. Fill us, fuel us with the good stuff as the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Lord, touch somebody this morning. Touch somebody's life this morning. Remind them that there's better. There's more. Have your way in us today in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, you respond. I've got the oil. The altar's open. People will be here. No excuses. No excuses. Would you be seated for a moment, please? I was serious a while ago when I told you I never, ever, ever want to be guilty of trying to create some emotional thing in an effort to stir the spirit within us. I never want to do that. If I ever guilty of that, slap me across the face, do something to me, because that's not what it's about. The truth of the matter is that when the Spirit truly begins to stir in somebody's life, oftentimes emotions accompany that. That's the pure oil. That's not the manufactured stuff. That's what I'm after. You know why I'm after that? That's what God's after. He wants to squeeze and get the pure oil. So I pray that it's never perceived as trying to stir something up. I don't ever want to do that. Never want to do that. Oh, but when God does it, I don't want to stop it either. How many of you learned something about oil today? How many of you learned something about the Holy Spirit today? Yeah. Holy Spirit's good. Even when it hurts, it's good. Why? Because he's squeezing out the good stuff.